Trust we'll have a good time in the Word of God tonight, and that we'll leave here considering the things that the Lord wants us to think about. Rethinking old thoughts. Rethinking old thoughts. Take your Bibles and go in the book of Matthew, if you will, please. Chapter number 6. Matthew chapter number 6 as our springboard tonight. And this is more of a topical message. It's a group of topical messages, really, put together. Normally, we save Sunday nights for tropical messages and topical, not tropical, topical messages. And then Sunday nights, Sunday mornings, we're using the book of Psalms. We diverted from that today. And usually on Wednesday nights, we're on the book of Revelation. That's our plan for this coming coming Wednesday. We invite you to be there. You folk that are watching on live stream, COVID has lost its power. COVID has lost its power. The greatest power that COVID has or had was fear. And it's losing that. Now, I understand we still have respect for it. I don't want to go visit someone at their hospital or at their home, sequestered or whatever. I don't want to go visit them at that. If I do, I'll stand a long ways back. I don't want COVID again, but even the government is starting to lighten up on that. And so take a step of faith and come see us and be here with us. And let the Lord speak to your heart by the fellowship of his people. There's things you can learn from the scriptures anywhere you're at. Praise the Lord. But there's something about fellowship. There's something about getting together. There's something that you can do for someone if you're a born-again believer, and someone can do something for you. And that happens on multiple occasions. It's not just once in a while, but on multiple occasions, someone will say something or someone will do something or they'll give a testimony, and it just builds you up. And you miss that if you're not here. There's something about congregating together. I believe that's why the Lord Jesus established the New Testament Baptist Church for his people to meet in, and taught that we ought to do it regularly. All right, in your Bibles, Matthew chapter number 6, and we're going to read one verse to start off with tonight. The Bible says, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." Now, if you go back through these things, he talks about apparel. He talks about things to eat. He talks about a lot of different things. And so, but he says, if we'll seek the Lord first and his righteousness, we don't want to forget that. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. That's be born again. And all of his righteousness, that means act like you're saved, live like you're saved. Then all of these things shall be added unto you. Now, I've been in this long enough to understand that God doesn't always answer my prayers exactly like I want him to. I had a Sunday school teacher one time when I was going to Bible college that brought over some food particles for us, some food pieces for my wife and I, and we were visiting for him, and he said that yesterday or the day before that they had had a barbecue and had steak, and I said, "You're going to Bible college and you're barbecuing steak?" He said, "Just a minute, Brother Sutton, time out, just a minute. I want you to say hamburger." And I said, "Hamburger." He said, "Now say steak." I said, "Steak." So he said, "I ask for it before it's ground, you ask for it after it's ground." And hamburger is much harder to say than steak, and God can answer either one. And so I do believe that this verse is absolutely true. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Now, you might be praying for a brand new Lincoln Continental or a brand new Mercedes or something, and you might get a rusted up old bucket truck of some kind, but God's going to answer your prayers. God's going to give you what you need if you put first things first and follow the Lord Jesus. And I trust that you'll understand that as we get the message tonight. Knowing that sometimes the world, the flesh, and the devil, which are our enemies, can squeeze us like a power lifter would squeeze an orange. It just seems like they're squeezing us and draining every bit of liquid within us out. Pressure comes from a lot of different places. It comes from a lot of different ways. At times, we would fare much better if we would decide to operate on purpose rather than hit and miss. Sometimes we operate hit and miss, and think that God's going to bless that like he would if we had a plan and had a program in our mind and had a schedule in our mind that we were going to do certain things on certain days and serve the Lord, and at the same time be open for God to alter that schedule any way he wants to. But we need to understand that hit and miss doesn't get what you want when you come to God in prayer. You don't want God to answer you part of the time and not answer the other part of the time, and you know he's listening once and you doubt that he's listening the next time. We don't want that hit and miss type of a thing. Well, God doesn't want us hitting and missing in our service either, and so we need to understand. So with the help of the Lord tonight, I desire to recommend. To recommend, that's a different word for me. I have time, at times in my ministry, I've tried to demand. That didn't work out so well. So tonight I'm going to recommend some simple things that will help us to think correctly so that our actions will be three things. Our life actions will be three things. Number one, it can best glorify the Lord Jesus. Don't you want Jesus pleased? Don't you want people to know that Jesus is pleased with you without you having to tell them? Jesus is best glorified when we do these things. Secondly, we best serve the people that we associate with when we do these things. And then thirdly, these things will bring the most satisfaction to us. And I don't know about you, but I want to live a life that's satisfied. I don't want to be all the time falling just short, just failing just by a little. I want to be satisfied with my Christian life, knowing that I've helped people, and more than anything else, knowing that I have glorified the Lord Jesus. So I want to share some thoughts with you tonight about first things first. First, we need to understand the importance of the spiritual before the physical. Very important that we understand that. Sometimes we try to get the physical ahead of the spiritual, and it causes all kinds of problems. Let me give you some Bible examples. In the example of Solomon in 1 Kings chapter number 3 and verse number 10, and he had just talked to the Lord and admitted to the Lord that he did not have the means, he did not have the education, he didn't have the power, he didn't have the wherewithal to guide this great people that God had put him in charge of by birth. And so he asked the Lord to give him wisdom and understanding. And the Bible says, and the speech pleased the Lord, that Solomon had asked the thing. And God said unto him, because thou hast asked this thing and hast not asked for long life. Have you ever asked the Lord for long life? I don't ask the Lord for long life, but several times a week I'll ask him to let me live another 20 years. And I've been asking him that for probably 25 or 30 years. But Solomon didn't do that. He didn't ask for long life. And he says, neither hast thou asked riches for thyself, nor hast thou asked the life of thine enemies. I can never remember sitting down or kneeling down and praying and saying, God, would you please kill so-and-so? I don't remember ever asking that. But I do remember a time or two when I said, Lord, if you decide to do that and you need somebody to volunteer, pick me. No, Solomon didn't do that. Solomon didn't ask the life of his enemies, but he did ask for himself understanding to discern judgment. Behold, I have done according to thy works. Lo, I have given thee a wise and an understanding heart, so that there was none like thee before thee, neither after thee shall any arise like unto thee. Here Solomon put the spiritual ahead of the physical, and God said, I'm pleased with that. That caught my attention, God says, and because you didn't ask for these things, but you did ask for these other things, I'm going to give you the things that you never asked for. What a wonderful thing our God is. Proverbs chapter 14 and verse number 12 said, there is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. And when God puts a principle in the Bible, he will put Bible verses and Bible stories in there to tell us and to teach us that principle. And when we think of the principle of spiritual before the physical, I think of three men that failed absolutely in it. First off, I think of Lot. I think of Lot. And Lot was, of course, a nephew of Abraham, and he was going everywhere with Abraham. And then their herds grew, and their herdsmen were getting fussy and fighting amongst themselves. So Abraham, paraphrased, just said, Lot, if you go that way, and I'll go this way, or you go that way, and I'll go this way. And so Lot, being the spiritual giant that he was, he looked this way and said, He looked this way and said, And he picked the well-grassed, the well-groomed portion of the plains going down towards Sodom and Gomorrah. And the picking the physical ahead of the spiritual caused him to be absolutely spiritually and physically even later bankrupt. And here we find Abraham, who took the leftovers. Abraham went to a place where the cactus didn't even grow very high. Sagebrush was everywhere. Cattle were thin. They had to be taken over acre and acre and acre of ground to get enough nutrition to live. And he took that, and God blessed that, and God gave him very much success in every aspect of his life, including being called the father of faith and the friend of God. Spiritual before the physical. I think of Achan. Achan was a man whose attention had not caught anybody. His personality, his character, his job had not really caught anybody's attention. And God had, when they were going into Jericho, a city that had never been defeated, and they were going into this city, and God said, I don't have a lot of stipulations I'm going to give you, but I want you to know this. When you find something, anything of value that's in that city, I want you to do one of two things with it. I want you to either put it into the treasure house of God, or I want you to destroy it. Anything else is sin. You can't give it away. You can't use it for barter. You can't do anything with it. You either have to give it into the house of God, or you have to destroy it. Well, Achan came along, and he was like a lot of Christians. He thought, well, you know, here I am. I'm in this tent, and I see these wonderful things, the silver, the gold, the Babylonian garment. And he looked all around, but he forgot to look up. And there was one watching, and that was the Lord. And so he decided that he knew better than God. And so he took those things, and like many things, many sins that people hang on to, they can't enjoy them. They can't have them. They can't display them. They can't give a great story of where they came from. And so he snuck those things over to his tent. He dug a hole in the tent, and he put the things in there and buried them and sat on it and just waited. Of course, he ended up losing his entire family because he had done that. Putting the physical ahead of the spiritual is a deadly thing. It's a costly thing. And even David, now there was one difference, we'll cover that in a little bit, but even David should have been with his men. There was a time when the children of Israel went out to war, and David tarried still at Jerusalem. Now I know and I understand that the good men that were following David said, David, you're more valuable to us than hundreds and hundreds of men. Our people listen to you and they follow you. They'll do anything for you. They're willing to die for you. So you stay home, you stay out of the action, and we'll do what you tell us to long distance. Of course, he didn't have cell phones, and so runners had to go back and forth, I suppose, and bring messages. But David tarried still in Jerusalem. David, rather than being the leader of his people, rather than choosing the spiritual thing, David tarried in the city, and he looked over the wall, and there was a young woman bathing herself, and lust was born in his heart. You all know the story of David and Bathsheba. Another fault that happens when we choose the physical over the spiritual, and we need to understand that. Now, with David, there was one different thing in his life than there was in Achan's life and Lot's life, and that's the fact that David was a terrible sinner, really. But David was a wonderful repenter. And David repented. You read in 53rd Psalm, you read that and you see how David came before God and confessed his sin, and God had forgiven him. Actually, God forgave him the actual sin itself right when Nathan first accused him. But then David spends some time with God just going over and over and over in his mind, making sure he did not live out any little parcel. And so David's sheet was wiped pretty clean, except for everyone in the world that knows the story. And David then began to put the spiritual in front of the physical, and David was a success the rest of his life. Now, each of these men thought that thought of the physical prior to considering the spiritual. And then 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse number 18 says this: flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without his body, but he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. Now, that's getting the physical ahead of the spiritual. Not long ago, I talked to a person that I knew he was interested in a young lady. And as far as I know, they're both top-notch people. And so I kidded him about it. I talked to him about it a little bit and gave him a bad time. Then I saw him again sometime later. And I said, I understand that you and this young lady have kind of formed a relationship. He said, yes, sir, and I'm very happy. I said, I'm happy for you too. And then just out of nowhere, I said, brother, be sure you keep the spiritual before the physical. And he almost had a heart attack. And I thought, I don't know what rock I kicked over. I don't know what bush I learned under. I leaned under. I don't know what light I shined. But it bothered him in a big way. And the only way out of that, if it's a problem, is confession and repentance. That's the only way out of it. And so we need to make sure we have the spiritual before the physical. Now, while the physical is important, and I would never tell you that the physical is not important. It's important that you have something to wear. And you don't always have to have the very best. It's important that you have shoes on your feet. Now, it won't stop your existence, but it'll sure make your existence more comfortable if you have some physical things. But don't steal them. And don't rob somebody in order to buy them. Trust God. Live for God. Give to God what you're supposed to so that He can take care of you the way He wants to. And I think one of the strongest points about being spiritual before your physical is found in Mark chapter 8 and verse number 36, the very words of the Lord Jesus Christ, who says, what shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Does that not tell us the importance of the spiritual compared to the physical? And we could back up to that other verse we read too, that every sin that a man does without the body is without the body. Every sin. You think of any sin you want to name, and Jesus said that's outside the body. Fornication is within the body. The physical before the spiritual will get your business in a jam. Secondly, tonight, we want to think a little bit about the giving before receiving. Now, somebody says, well, somebody has to give you something before you receive. No, you have something. I don't care how broke you are. You have something that you can give. You can give a smile. You can give a handshake. You can give a wave. You can give an hour's labor. You have something that you can give. And if you want to receive something, if we want to receive something, we've got to learn how to be givers before we can expect God to give us things and us to receive the things that we'd like to have from the Lord. Here's a Bible verse, Luke chapter 6 and verse number 38. Give, comma. I like that comma there because that lets you put anything in there you want. Give money, give love, give attention. Give, and it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that you meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. And so Jesus says we need to learn how to be good givers if we want to be bountiful receivers. We have to do that. Acts chapter 20 and verse number 35 says, I have shown you all things, how that so laboring you ought to support the weak and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said it is more blessed to give than to receive. That's pretty plain. Us farm boys can understand that. To think that we can receive without giving, how many of you were raised with a with a wood stove, a wood burning stove somewhere in your house. Oh, we have a lot of farm type folk here. That's my people. Well, you know, did you ever go up to your stove on a cold morning and you put your hands over the top of the stove and the ice almost jumps off the stove on your fingers? You're standing there going like this and you find yourself talking to the stove. And you say, okay, stove, I'll tell you what, you give me some heat and I'll give you some wood. Doesn't work that way, does it? If you want to receive heat from that stove, you're going to have to give it some wood. You're going to have to labor a little bit. You're going to have to start a fire. And sometimes that's not real easy either. My nephews, two of my nephews burned down their house because they tried to start a fire one time. Somebody said, well, this wood's wet. It won't burn right. And someone else said, it will after we put this on there. And he threw a can of gasoline on it. Well, he gave and he received, but not exactly what he wanted. But we need to understand, it's foolish to think that a stove is going to give you heat before you give it wood. And it's foolish for us as God's people to believe that God is going to take care of us like he wants to when we squeeze a nickel so hard that Jefferson is exchanged for Lincoln before we get rid of it. I mean, we gotta get change on a nickel to give an offering and so forth. I thank God we haven't had that problem here. Praise the Lord. I mean that as genuinely as I can. But we need, you know, money isn't the only place we ought to give. Thank God we have people who give of their talents, and we have people who give of their time, and we have people that'll go and talk to people. We have more people all the time that are going and talking to people and sharing the gospel with people and encouraging people and trying to help people to understand that just because you believe the Bible, it doesn't make you a monster. We need to understand the importance of giving before we receive things. Thirdly, we need to There's the idea we need to learn that there's planting before the harvest. Someone says, well, that's dumb. Well, how come so many people want a harvest from God and they've never given him a nickel's worth of work? They never spend any time reading their Bible. They never spend any time in prayer. They never told anybody else about Jesus, if they know about him themselves even. And so we need to learn how to plant before the harvest. Much time is spent on a farm in the preparation of planting for the harvest and planning for the harvest. It's just good times, but it's a lot of work. But you've got to get the seed in the ground if you expect it to grow. It's not going to grow if it's anywhere else. And it's always exciting to see the harvest crew come. We never had a very big farm, but there was always several farmers that would get together, and the big outfits coming through from Oklahoma and Texas and so forth would come past our place, and the ladies would fix big dinners and boy, iced tea like you hadn't seen it, and fried chicken by the tub full, and just good times in the harvest time. But if you want to have a good time at harvest, you're going to have to go through all the labor of fixing the machinery and tilling the soil and planting the seed and all the work and keeping the varmints away from and keeping the insects and the blights away from. All those things have to happen if you're going to have a good harvest. There has to be the sowing before there is the reaping and the harvest. And of course, the most excited person within the sound of those combines is the person that owns the ground, and he sees that golden grain going into those combines and on into those trucks, and he gets real excited. But he couldn't have gotten excited if he hadn't have sowed the seed first. Yeah. Sow the seed. Let me ask you a question tonight. What area of your life do you need a real blessing in? I mean, in your relationship, in your finances, in your health. I don't know of any area of our life that wouldn't be greatly affected if we'd learn from the Lord how to give in those areas. When we give in those areas, God answers us in those areas. You remember a long time ago, this goes back a long ways, clear back in creation, God established a plan. Everything was to reproduce after its kind. After his kind, after his kind, after his kind, after his kind. Do you really believe that after God saying that so many times, clear back in the early chapters of the book of Genesis, do you really believe God is going to let you sow kindness and continually reap contempt? I don't believe that's going to happen. I don't think it can happen. Oh, every once in a while, you know, the liger and the mule, they violate that principle that God had. But God says, that's it, stops it. God stops it right there. I know there's been pictures taken, said this was a foal that was born to a female mule. And I just say, Tommy Rotten, it just isn't so. It just isn't so. A liger never had a child, and a mule never had a colt. Just God says, no. God says, you break the principle after his kind. You break that principle, and everything stops. The blessings, they stop. They stop. And so we need to be good givers. In 1 Kings chapter 17, verse number 13, the Bible said, this is when Elijah, was going to go see the widow woman. And you remember the few sticks that she had? She was going to fix herself. She was going to go out and gather a few sticks. She had a handful of meal and a cup of oil. And she's going to gather a few sticks and make a cake for herself and for her son. And they were going to eat those and die. What a foggy, terrible expectation of the next day or two. Well, here's what Elijah said. Elijah said unto her, fear not, go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first. That sounds to me like sowing. Make thereof a little cake first, and bring it unto me, and after make for thee and for thy son. And we know that all the time of the drought, they had leftovers, because they learned to be givers in a tough time. Matthew chapter 13 and verse number 3 says, and he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, behold, a sower went forth to sow. You see, it all starts with sowing. It all starts with giving. He's not just talking about coin and corn. He's not just talking about barley and bucks. He's not just talking about money. He's talking about giving. And God will prompt us. Sometimes God will say, hey, I want you to give money extra. I want you to give time extra. I want you to give some counsel. I want you to sit down and write a letter. God wants us to be givers if we're going to be recipients of the things that he would really like to give us. And remember this from the farm. The best seed in the world, it doesn't matter if it's Russian red wheat. It doesn't matter what it is. It doesn't matter what company fixed it and bagged it and put the poisons on it for the mice and the bugs. It doesn't matter where it came from, but it'll never produce anything as long as it's in the shed. It's got to be out and got to be planted. This book is the same way. In fact, this is even called seed. God calls this seed. But on the library shelf, on the top of the piano, on the coffee table, under the car seat, in the trunk and never bought out and looked at, it's not going to produce anything. The very best, a perfect book. And it's not going to produce anything until it's sown. We have to take the Word of God out and sow it if we're going to see anything produced by it. The fourth thing we want to think about tonight for a little bit is humility before exaltation. Humility before exalting. In Luke chapter 14 and verse number 11, the Bible says, for whosoever exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. Well, let me see. At the end of things, do I want to be abased or do I want to be exalted? Okay, how do I get exalted? According to the eternal Word of God, he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. And you know, I've learned another secret about humility. It's easier to humble yourself than it is to go through God humbling you. Usually a whole lot less embarrassing if you can just learn to trust God with that. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse number 6 says, humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Note that, in due time. We do something, we humble ourselves. God doesn't exalt us immediately. We don't get that new job. We don't get that new car. We don't get that new position. We don't get that new dress, that new pair of boots. We don't get that new thing. And all of a sudden, we're upset with God because he didn't do what he said he would do. No, he said in due time. In due time. And I can promise you that most usually, there is time that we'll have time to talk to God about it several times before that which we have done pays off in something we can really see. We just have to trust God. It's important that we live by faith. Our job, according to this humility versus exaltation, our job, according to that, is to be humble. And the Lord's job is to exalt us in due time. Now think with me for a minute. No one can do God's job like God can do God's job. God can help us to do any job He wants us to do, but we cannot do God's job and do it effectively. We can't do that. We have to allow God to do that job. Now, He may want to use us as a tool to do the job, but we can't do the job. So here's what happens. We try to do God's job and exalt ourselves, and God says, oh, you want to play switch today? You want to play switch over? You want to change places today, huh? Okay, well, you have exalted yourself, so now I'll do your job and I'll humble you. When I do God's job, He does my job. Pretty simple switch, pretty simple and plain. Humble before exaltation. And then the last one we want to talk about is others before ourselves. Now, we referenced the widow woman and Elijah already. We talked about that when we were talking about him or her reaping after she had sowed. But it's also a picture of others, because she took care of others before she took care of herself. But notice in Philippians chapter number 2 and verse number 3, the Bible says, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Now, that's pretty hard to do sometimes. There's a lot of jokers in the world. There's a lot of people that don't play fair. There's a lot of people that carry animosities from other places, and you have to put up with some of that. But the fact is, the Bible said, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. I wonder if sometimes we ought to put on our Saturday work clothes and walk through a homeless shelter. I wonder if we'd get the idea of what God is talking about here. Isn't it cost just as much to wash away my sin as it did the sin of anybody that's living behind Walmart in the bushes back there? And God said we're supposed to esteem them more important than we are. Esteem others better than we are. James chapter 3 and verse number 14 says, but if you have bitterness and envy, that's what keeps us from doing it. If you have bitterness and envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. When we insist on being first, me first, me first. Now, if you're in a foot race with someone, go ahead, think me first. That's okay. You're supposed to be out beating them there. But just going through life, when you have the attitude, me first, me first, me first, the Bible says that causes confusion. And in confusion, there is every evil work. Just by simply getting two things out of place, two things twisted around. A poet who was probably paid a lot of money for this one time said this, others, Lord, yes, others, may this my motto be, that I might live for others, that I might live like Thee. I'm so glad on the fourth day of September 2022, as I look back, that 2,000 plus years ago, Jesus didn't say, no, it'll hurt me too much, it'll cost me too much, it'll be too embarrassing, it'll be too shameful. And Jesus allowed Himself, the one who spoke into existence the whole world, Jesus allowed Himself to be taken by barbaric people and stretched out across an old rugged cross, nailed to that thing, picked up and dropped into that socket. After having been mercilessly beaten, He said, no, others, others, others. until we learn on a regular basis to live for others, we'll never be living like Jesus did and Jesus desires that we would. Let's bow our heads tonight, please. Our heads are bowed.